Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork.
Terrence Boyd is a German-American forward who currently is helping FC Kaiserslautern find its way back to its former glory. Before that, the path has been long and filled with ups and downs. He started in the second teams of Hertha Berlin and Dortmund, quickly gaining notoriety. He scored Europa League goals, ventured to the MLS, and earned 14 caps for the US men's national team. Fun fact, he scored in every Bundesliga. That's a very small list. Terrence joins us in the midst of a great second Bundesliga campaign. Fantastic results for the club, and right in the middle of a golden boot race. This conversation was right up there with one of our favorites, and you'll see why. This is True to Myself with Terrence Boyd.
It's Terrence Boyd. Welcome to Footwork.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we always start off with the motto, Footwork, which is make your own path. You know, you've taken a journey which has seen you play for over 8 clubs, national teams, in and out of different companies, or countries, I should say.
The same.
Companies, basically. Countries, yeah, all that same. Finding ways to perfect the craft, you know, still at 31, hitting a new prime. What does making your own path mean to you?
I think, first of all, it's finding out who the true you or your true self is, you know what I mean, in terms of off the pitch. Because when I see so many young guys and talents come up and train with the pros right now, and I always tell them, hey, obviously you need games and match experiences to finally find out who you are as a player on the pitch, right? But it's kind of compared to, like, it's the same with you guys. And I don't even know you guys personally, but I think every one of you at some point reach a stage where it's like, boom, yeah, that's me, Dylan, that's me, that's what I stand for, that's what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what defines me, this is the person I am. Obviously, people can change, yeah, but this is the basic principles that makes you, you, right? And so it's a long journey, and I think it's, for every player personally, it's a different path, and at some point, you're going to reach, yeah, this kind of a state where it just clicks and you're like, yeah, exactly, that's it.
That's
so
me.
I don't know if you, I always talk a lot. So should I go in depth or?
You do. I mean, podcast, yeah. You could do it. You do whatever you want.
Yeah.
All right. So for me, for example, when I went to Rapid Vienna, mm-hmm. And I had my assistant coach was Carsten Janka, former Bayern German national team striker, huge bald ass head, and I didn't even like him like as a player before because he wasn't good at dribbles. I was like a Thierry Henry guy.
Yeah, okay?
Before I finally found out, I'm not that kind of guy.
I'm not that guy.
I'm not quick as hell and that technically gifted, and somehow found out that I'm actually more like this Carsten Janka dude who had a good-ass career, you know? And then he kind of told me, okay, what to do, how to behave as a central striker, because my position, for example, is one of the, like, dying breeds right now, because nowadays they want every player to play at least 2-3 other positions, mm-hmm. versatile, and I'm like this, just, you know, fat old dude up front who's going to hold up the balls. And, you know, but once we're in the box, I know that we're home. You know what I mean? That's right. My home, and I'm going to set the rules in there. But outside the box? But so it was at that time, I was like 21, 22, I think, where you say our position is like kind of like Shaquille O'Neal. What is this big fella doing? He's getting rebounds, laying it off for other people, going back under the court, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just doing the basics. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
The thing is, once you find out who you really are as a player, it's about, okay, obviously you got strength and weaknesses. So it's all about how you're going to sell yourself.
Yeah.
So obviously you want to get in more situations where your strengths are like shown, and mm-hmm. in less situations where people can see weaknesses. And obviously this way you can contribute way more to your, to your own team and help them win games. And so I reached that point when I was like 22. I was actually very happy to have so many games, professional games under my belt at that time, because it wasn't the normal road of a talent. I came to the academy when I was like 18, never had the proper education. That's why my first touch is still shitty as hell. But then again,
I was like clutch.
I was 21, clutch. Went to Rapid Vienna and had two seasons back to back where I played in the Europe League group stage, and yeah. I was allowed to do mistakes. And the normal way is, okay, if you're not a Mario Götze, for example, you sign with the pros, you play with the reserve team or still under 19, but you ride the bench with the pros, eventually you're going to make it, but it's taking years. So those Rapid Vienna days helped me a lot in terms of finding out who you really are. And yeah, it's been a crazy ride since then.
And since then, you are currently in some of the best shape of your life. And I think you're 31, but still getting maybe into a prime and past what people would consider, okay, you get to 30. After 30, athletes tend to peak and on the way down. But Ronaldo, LeBron, these guys are showing that that's not the case anymore. How are you feeling currently, and how's the season going?
Yeah, spectacular. The season, not me. It sounds kind of arrogant, but like I feel like I'm playing the best ball I've ever played in my whole career. Because what I've lacked the years before is the experience you got now and the confidence in yourself. And this is actually the most important part as a athlete in whatever sport you are, because if you don't have self-confidence, there's only so many games the coach is going to be confident in you. And after that, that's it, my friend.
Yeah.
You're out. Because that's the way this business is going, right? And and it's unforgivable. The business side of football is just mentally drains you, because you always have to perform. And if not, after one, two games, you're going to be scared that you're going to might lose your starting job, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But like the confidence is a big, big factor. And I got it right now. We are performing so well. We just got promoted from third to the second league. Obviously, Kaiserslautern used to be one of the giant clubs in Germany, yeah. But like, yeah, went to a slump for like 10 years. And to be one of those like local heroes that got them promoted again, it's just a blessing. And fans are extraordinary. We have like home games where like 50,000 are coming, away
nuts.
Games where like 5 to 10,000 are showing up, which is unbelievable. And so far, right as of right now, we have fourth in the table. We don't know how we got there, but we just are like overperforming, and we just think because many players have a similar kind of path like me. And before we want to like show the fans and the club that we can ball out in the second league, we want to prove it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because before that, I was a Darmstadt in the second league. I didn't play well. I wasn't confident enough. And somehow you guys play too, so you know it. The surroundings have to be right. It's kind of weird. It's like it's like Feng Shui, you know, it's so weird, because like, if you know, like you're at Norderstedt, you have Lübeck right now. If you perform, that's probably because the coach is doing a good job. The teammates are good. Everything just kind of like
gels together.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. And I don't know how to describe it. And it should be given. Or don't take it for granted that it's currently running, because Yeah. Like you on Game Dames, you were just a product of everything that happens behind the scenes, like for weeks and months, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so we just happy right now, living the moment and just cherish everything and just, you know, we just have one motto, and this is like to be able to look into the mirror after games. If you know, we just, you know, when 100%, obviously you can lose games. There are better teams than us. Easy, yeah. But if we give like 100%, we know we can win or draw against any team in the league, and we've shown that. And yeah, but at the end of the day, it's a game.
Footwork.club, the official website for all things footwork, is now live.
Check out all Footwork podcast content, including episodes, guest features, and YouTube videos.
The Press, a section with written articles, interviews, and blogs from ourselves and guests.
Game Time, updates about our season in Germany and what's going on behind the microphone.
Want to go pro? Dedicated to helping soccer players follow their dreams with helpful info and our consultation sign-up. That's a free video call with us to connect and ask anything.
And of course, the Footwork Shop. We got some of the best merch around, as well as free PDF templates like a CV builder and much more.
So join the club at footwork.club. But like you said, you got the confidence now, 10 goals. I mean, you're like right in the golden boot race with a few guys there. I think you're up at second. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure like as a forward, I mean, you've experienced the times when the confidence isn't there, the drought is there. Sometimes you can have the confidence and still get the goal drought too, and not be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. All these things can happen. So how have you kind of grown in that way in terms of like when you're in these goal droughts or when you have a few different times to not to put too much pressure on yourself and to see it out on the other side, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are different ways and different and obviously there are different personas or different players, so everybody has their own kind of method. But like for me, it's been confidence doesn't come with just one goal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. one game. It's just it's a process, and I've lacked the confidence in the past years. So when I was at Darmstadt, coming back from an ACL injury where I almost retired, was been out for 1.5 years. And then all of a sudden I'm playing first Bundesliga. I never played there before. Didn't have the confidence back then, but like at least I managed to get one Bundesliga goal. Second league at Darmstadt, I just didn't perform. Went on to Toronto because as an American, I wanted to play in the MLS. I knew Jose Altidore's there. I'm not going to be a starter, but I was like, fuck it. I just want to experience it. I love the league. The league is nice. We just talked beforehand. Only thing that bothers me is that you can't get promoted or relegated. And when it comes to pressure, when we get relegated in here, people in front office are losing their jobs. So mentally, this is like so much is at stake, you know, when it comes to relegation and the fight to stay in the league. And I think it kind of mentally translate into the national team. That's why, yeah, we should be so proud that so many European talents are playing in Europe's highest level right now. But didn't perform at Toronto at all, which yeah sucks, because national team and MLS, the only leagues where I've played professionally, where I haven't scored a single goal. And then I went back to Halle Schöfzin, third league, and we just talked about it. The surroundings were right, the timing was right, everything just clicked. And game by game, month by month, I got my confidence back. And it was funny, but I told my wife when I was at Halle, I said, I mean, I've played in the first league and I used to be a national team player. I was like, I think I'm playing my best ball right now, but I'm in the third fucking league. Nobody cares, you know? But I'm like, I think this is the best version I ever seen of myself. And to be able to, make the most out of it with the move to Kaiserslautern, being one of the guys who got them promoted, and now, you know, succeeding as a team, succeeding in the second league, it's been a hell of a ride. It's been a process, but I'm just happy. Yeah, I'm happy with my life, happy with my career and the way I came back. Because believe me, I think it's Dave, one of my favorite rappers. The highest of the highest never lasts as long as the lows of the lows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're there.
There are so many rough times and rough games where you just feel like shit, and like they always feel harder and more intense than the successful times, right? And but you need those times. You need them because you don't want to feel this the pain again. You know, just when it comes to confidence, the last game is a perfect example. So it was 1-1. Got a ball right in front of the goal. So I'm on a second post, flat ball, but it bounced a little bit, but nobody cares because it was 5 meters in front of the goal. And I just hit it right, wide. I just missed the sitter like 2 meters in front of a goal.
Whole saw stadium that, yeah. Nuts. Saw that.
Me, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go again. You know, just scored the game winner, right?
Yeah.
And a few years back, that would be it. You could sub me out and I would be like, mentally, I wouldn't be there anymore, right? You couldn't use me anymore. And that's why I'm talking about confidence, because in this moment, I was like, okay, this shit happened to me before.
Yeah.
Whatever. You can't, you know, change the past. So, okay, who knows? Maybe I get another chance. So what I did for the first time in my career, actually, I just started laughing to just trick myself to be, you know, to trick my body and myself and my mind to be happy, to just, you know, it's done. You can't change it, whatever. 10 minutes later, I get like this, easier sitter. And then boom, I was.
Yeah, but you made a good back post run.
True. Yeah. Hey,
some good movement. That was smart. Just good movement.
Exactly. Because I was targeting first post and sliding back. And this.
Yeah, you got him. You got him like on a little hezzy, and then you came back post. Exactly. It looked, it's one of those. It looks easy. It looks easy, but that movement. Hey,
but I like you, man. I like you. Because nobody, I said a video and this guy, and he's like hard on me because I'm never running, right? I'm being a lazy player. And then he's like, I told him, I was like, do you see the move I did before that? but this is subject confidence.
Yeah.
A few years back, I wouldn't have been on the pitch anymore. They would sub me out because I would play like shit from then on. And this is the part of experiences and, you know, learning from mistakes. And those mistakes, the sitters, the easy sitters that you miss, they're going to happen again. But the thing is, how you're going to cope with it. It's an easy example with stand up one more time, then you fall down. And it's just nice right now, yeah.
Did you ever work with a mental coach or a sports psychologist to kind of change your mindset in terms of that, of getting over mistakes in
No. So I had seven ones at several stations, and I'm always like, hey, man, like, it's nice that we got you here, and I really respect that, and I hope people will come forward and just talk to you if they have problems. I'm not the type of guy. So I'm like, yeah, I'd rather cry in front of my wife or just drink some Jack Daniels, and that's about it, you know?
Hey, that's your therapy there, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be the bar for how to cope with bad games and mental. I've never had the mental problems per se when it comes to that. So obviously when we talk about mental health, the way, like we talk about depression, those are problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being on the goal drought or playing badly right now, this is something else. Obviously you can help or work with those coaches. I've been at one meeting with one mental coach, and he was like teaching me something like I should just do this. And I was like, yeah, okay, nah. You know what I mean? So
only you, like you said before, and we talked off camera, like you're you. You know what you need and exactly, what you don't
need. Exactly, yeah, but then again, there might be players, you know what I mean, who really
need that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
sure
so
sure.
It's nice to have that
the option.
Yeah,
the
resources, exactly. And yeah, but for me personally, I'm not that kind of guy who, it's not that I'm respected or like, obviously, like, it might help if you go into depth and just, you know, work everything up, but I don't know. I don't feel like it. Yeah.
Good. And staying on that topic of promotion relegation that lacks in the MLS and you feel is lacking in their mentality and why they didn't have success back when you were part of the squad. You've been part of promotion and relegation yourself. So how can you describe, first off, promotion and then everything that comes with relegation and being in that relegation battle?
So good thing is I've only been relegated once in my life, and everyone saw it coming because I went from Leipzig to Darmstadt when they had 8 points, and I came in January. So everybody knew the party's over. So we actually presented ourselves very, very well. And we did the best we could because you can't recover from 8 points in the Bundesliga and stay in the league. So it wasn't a normal relegation. Obviously, Darmstadt, they went from third league to the first league years before. So the fans knew what's about to come, and they went so hard on us because they're like, okay, we're just happy we had those two first league years, right? And so that was a pretty chill relegation. But I've been in relegation battles in Darmstadt, Halle for 2 years. Darmstadt one was actually the craziest because Dirk Schuster came back, my coach at Lautern right now, and he came back for a second stint at Darmstadt, and things didn't look that good. And to this day, I don't know how we managed to do it, but like, yeah, you can feel the nerves. Mm-hmm. So staying in the league and like surviving the relegation battle is as equally good as winning a promotion or championship, because you know, you save some people their jobs in the front office. Obviously, when it comes to resilience in your career and in your CV, it looks good, you know. But you know, I mean, as a team, it's doing so much for you when you know you've been through the battle. And you succeeded, and this is such a, it's incredible. This feeling is incredible. And right now I did I got promoted from fourth league to third league to second league, and second league to first league. But the last one with Red Bull Leipzig from second league to first league, I didn't play a game when I was out with my ACL injury, so it doesn't really count. But I got all the promotion titles in Germany. I played the game.
Decorated.
And yeah, I have to say that the one right now with Kaiserslautern was just epic. As I mentioned before, Lautern used to be one of the biggest clubs in Germany. And seeing this, I always compare them to a sleeping giant, and seeing them, you know, struggle their heart, went into, what's it called?
Administration.
Almost into administration. So there was that close to going to the fourth league. Then they saved their asses. And you could see, okay, there's a team brewing up in there. Exactly 1 year ago, I came to Kaiserslautern, and everything worked out just fine. It was just perfect. It was just perfect. We were just a nice team. At some point, statistically, we were one of the best defenses, if not the best defense, in whole Europe for some time. Unbelievable. And then the three last games, we just bottled the games and went into a playoff against Dresden, and missed the sitter there as well. So that was here we go again. But then again, we were better 3 out of 4 halves in both games, and unbelievable, just unbelievable. We
party. I can't imagine there's anything like a relegation playoff or a promotion playoff. It's just
Before we went on the pitch, before kickoff, when we left the locker room, you know, everybody's like shouting, and we do a circle and just talking nonsense. And I was like, dude, guys, when we come back, like obviously not in halftime, but after the final whistle, when we come back, what's the second leg at Dresden? When we come back into this locker room, we're second league players. We just kind of manifested it. And unbelievable. just crazy. And you can't realize it on the same day. And so, like, party in the locker room for an hour. Somebody came with three-liter Jack Daniels bottle. I just, oh my God, I almost killed that bitch myself. And then went to the bus, didn't drink a single drop because I knew, okay, this far and that's it, because I
got to regain my composure here.
Had a shitty ride home, but
to be expected. Then
we arrived at the stadium, met at the stadium again, and then we went with the bus. We went to to the city. Was a parade going on, and it was unbelievable. And then you kind of, the first time, you kind of, not fully, but kind of realize what we just did, because it was like for like 2 days straight, it was vacation in the whole region, in the whole county. Just unbelievable. I don't know. I'm lost in words. It's
speechless.
Yeah, you could have just, you know, you had like the, we all had the gift to make people happy. And this is such a great feeling to just see the relief on all those faces, you know, coming back from the dead. Now we're back in the second league. And I mean, this is a club that belongs to the Bundesliga, but we're not there right now. But I think, I mean, the coming years, I don't know how many years, they will be back in the Bundesliga, because the fans and the stadium are too, even bigger than our team is, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's unbelievable. And just to be a part of that was just a blessing.
Yeah. And the emotions, the energy that are intertwined with these promotion and relegation battles, you mentioned a little bit here on the podcast and before, but you felt in Toronto that lacked in terms of training and in games, when you don't get results, how players react, and ultimately how that translates into the national team performances. Now, go ahead.
No, what I'm just saying is, if I think it will come with every US talent that's coming to Europe and just lives through the moment of, okay, what it's like to be relegated, or, you know, the fear of being relegated and seeing what's like, what's behind a relegation, and, you know, the pressure, it's just different. And that's what I'm saying. It's not against MLS players, because it's not their fault. It's a system that's not preparing those MLS players mentally enough to, you know, to get through like hard times. And, you know, just being able to mentally run through a brick wall, because the MLS, if you don't, as I said before, if you don't make the playoffs, it's just, whatever. You know what I mean? I got like an even longer vacation now, and just let's see where I'm gonna go for my holidays. That's not the way we do it in Europe or in Germany. If we get relegated, you know what I mean? Good luck being seen on the streets. So, what I'm saying is, right now, just seeing so many people thriving here in the top five leagues, that the future of U.S. national team will be bright. And I'm hoping for big things when it comes to our home World Cup. And, we'll see. I don't know. Because I've asked so many times why it isn't possible to, you know, set up a, like, promotion and relegation with the USL, but I think it's just when it comes to money, it's just money thing, right?
It's always money, yeah. Oh, I mean, you raise a good point with USL. Maybe that is the way that it's possible. It's like there's a two, three, four, fifth leagues that are promotion relegation. Yeah, but
we all know that it would improve the standard of our game in the States by multiple leagues. So
couldn't agree more.
Because when it just comes, just, you know, the easiest example, we talk about football, basketball, baseball, whatnot. They're all by far the best leagues in the whole world. If you win the Super Bowl this weekend, you're the world champ, right? And when it comes to athletes in the States, they're none like it in the rest of the world. I mean, obviously, we can't I mean, I can't imagine LeBron James playing soccer or football, obviously. But
maybe
like,
keeper.
Yeah, but I don't know. Let's go with OBJ. I don't know. If they, you know what I mean? And
crazy winger.
Yeah, so every... Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Steph Curry on the tenor.
Steph Curry on the tenor, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Every major, like the World Cup, for example, this just... It's so funny that we have to do, like, advertisement for the game of soccer or football, whatever you guys like to call it, in our home country. It's the number one sport in the world, but not in the US, right?
Yeah, and it still needs that.
If we get more and more athletes to choose soccer over basketball or football or hockey or whatever, I don't know what kind of freak athletes will come through in the next years. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But then again, there's also the educational part, you know, when it comes to youth coaching. And, you know, I don't know, but from what I've heard, the college level isn't the highest, right?
That's no, it's, it, it just varies so much.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can't tell, but I just heard about it. And, you know, when it comes to youth coaches and just college coaches and whatnot, for example, when I was at TFC, the second team, they were actually trained at a very high level. Like, I liked what I saw because they had kind of an European approach when it comes to just tactics and, you know, just the drills they did. And, yeah, I mean, it's a slow grind, but we're getting forward somehow.
Get in there yeah. somewhere. Yeah. I mean, speaking about that, let's talk about your time with the U.S. men's national team. So, first off, I mean, growing up in Germany, spending just a little bit of time in New York, but obviously having that in your roots. I mean, what was that transition like to, you know, starting and going into the U.S. men's national team? And how do you look back at that time?
It was a dream come true. I was about to retire when I had my first under 20 national game, national team appearance.
Like, I'm good. I did it.
I made it. Yeah. I made it. It is like seriously, dream come true. And yeah, even crazier when I was at Dortmund 2 reserve team playing the fourth league, Regionalliga West. And then they just told me, yeah, you're probably gonna be when we play Italy. And I was like, yeah, right. You know, I'm not even professional right now. And then Klinsmann subbed me on. We won 1-0 in Italy. It was just insane. It was just like a movie. Flew in there, Milan, had a chauffeur in the Mercedes, like suited on, who drove me to Genoa, came into the hotel. There was security on my hotel floor. I was like, yo, what is going on? You know what I mean? And unbelievable. And just grateful that you made me a national team player. And even though I didn't score a single goal and I didn't make the World Cup, which is actually something that I'm very sad about, because I was actually at a good form at Rapid Vienna. Summer I was bought for 2 million to Rapid Leipzig, so I had a good campaign this year, and they took Wondolowski over me.
Yeah,
and
he missed the sitter. What?
Yeah, in Belgium. Yeah. That's the way it is. And as I said before, but I haven't scored. And
but you did have some assists.
Yeah. But even though I haven't scored, I think I can say and look into the mirror and say, okay, I proudly represented that jersey, and that's what it's about. And yeah.
And how do you see the growth going forward of the national team, the U.S. national team?
I think this is the craziest generation I've seen so far.
Yeah.
I can't talk about, like, I don't know, the generation of, like, Donovan or Dempsey. Dempsey, for me, is one of the craziest players I've ever played and trained with. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, gifted. But now you got a Pusik, you got a Tyler Adams, McKinney, you got so many. I'm forgetting so many.
Gio Reyna, yeah.
Wow, Gio Reyna, the goalies. I mean, the goalie standard was high before. With
some reason, American keepers have always been pretty good. Yeah.
They always make it to the Prem. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Yes. So I don't know, in terms of who's going to be the next head coach, it's going to be interesting. And yeah, but I mean, if you look at your resources in, yeah, all those players coming through right now, I mean, that's what I'm saying. 2026, Pulisic is not a young boy anymore. He will be at the peak of his game, hopefully, you know, and all those other talents right now. And they're already starters in top five leagues. And this is just, it's going to be a now or never tournament in 2026. Because I don't see a better generation coming through as of right now, yeah.
Are we gonna see you back in the jersey?
Yeah, maybe as an assistant coach. I don't know. I'm turning 32 now, so let's be honest. And there's so many like talented and gifted young strikers right now. Actually, for me, I didn't get why Pifok from Union Berlin.
A lot of us don't.
No idea. Haji Wright, obviously, he did a good job. I like him. Sergeant also good, but at that time he was a starter. I think they were first in the league at that time. Yeah.
He's got a good amount of goals this year too. You know, yeah. I don't.
But then again, I don't watch soccer. I don't watch games, so I don't. Maybe I'm missing something, but
I don't think so. I don't think you're missing much there.
I don't know. Yeah,
there was so, one.
It's just about me. It's just I think the. When it comes to national team, it's over. I would love every time I get a call, easy. I'm swimming over there, but
I'm swimming over there.
Yeah, but let's be just realistic and honest. There are so many young and talented strikers, and I don't what's it called? I'm not angry if I'm not getting called up anymore, because I know that there are so many young gifted players right now, the strikers. So it's all good. I'm just happy with myself and. You know what I mean? I'm just focusing on Kazakhstan.
Do you have any favorite memories? Like one favorite memory that stands out from your time and wearing the U.S. men's national team jersey?
I think Azteca when the back heel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the back heel, man.
And the fun, I think
first time to win an Azteca.
Yeah, in like 80 years or something. The funniest thing was
the back heel is known, man. The back heel is known.
You guys know that it wasn't meant to be an assist, right?
I'm not saying I did.
Well, that was the funniest thing, because I like sprained my ankle. I played with tape, so I couldn't feel shit. Then I get the ball from Breck Shell. It was back to the goal, Ocho and goal. I was like, dude, it's time to shine.
The rest is history.
I go with the back heel, and I miss it. Like I didn't hit it right. And it just went sideways, Michael.
Or did you hit it perfectly? Or did you hit it perfectly?
I was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah.
That works.
Hey, I didn't know he wasn't even in the box, man. He's a center back. I don't know how he got there. So funny, so funny. It's just, yeah, that was meant to be, man. But playing as Azteca, playing as Mexico, that was dope. Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing like that. And going back to your youth, you played with Hertha and Dortmund in their second teams, like you mentioned, Riga and Liga West. What did that do for your development, getting your name out there, playing in a men's league, but on a youth team? I think that's the biggest difference.
You said the most important part, men's league, because I've seen so many talents like destroying under 17, under 19 Bundesliga, and they couldn't like translate it into the men's game.
Mm.
And that's why it's so important to have those reserve teams and just, you know, grinding against men, you know? So, because they give you hell. And, so it's obviously it's a different kind of preparation for what's to come, because it's not that physically in the Bundesliga. It's more now they're way it's way more tactical and technical, but it's nice because it's just like kind of I don't know how to say it. How you call it? Iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, they just grind you out and
you have to
cope with those big ass opponents.
Find a way.
So for me, it was very important to just, it was still on my way to finding myself. Then my first pro contract was at Rapid Vienna after those 2 years in the Regionalliga. They were very important for me. Yeah.
And as a youth player, you gained a lot of attention on these teams. And we've seen, and I know players personally that were kind of in a similar situation, but they wind up letting that buzz get to their head and then they don't actually wind up make much of a career. How were you able to stay focused? And, you know, what advice would you give to a young player experiencing
it's
something like
easy.
That?
It's easy. First of all, you have to stay humble. But not just act like you're humble. You have to stay humble. You know what I mean? Know where you come from. Most of the players aren't like rich kids. You know what I mean? So, and they easily forget where they come from. And my story, I was never in the Bundesliga Youth Academy until I was like 17, 18 when I got discovered and went to Hertha Berlin. And I was riding the bench for 2 years. I was started in the last year. And what separated me from all those other players. And at that time when I went there, I think I was the only guy who wasn't a youth national team player. And I never forget the words from one player. He was a Polish youth national team player at Hertha Berlin at 19. And he said, yeah, somehow we all become pros one day. You know what I mean? And this dude is unemployed right now in Berlin. You know, yeah, seriously. Yeah. There's so many cases. But what separated me from all those others were like, I was hungry.
Mm.
And I was doing extra shifts. I wasn't technically not even as good as they were. But I had a totally different mentality because I was just grateful to be given the chance, you know what I mean, to work under professional circumstances and surroundings and just having the chance, okay, you know, to become a pro. And I've seen that story so many times with just gifted nice talents and then
just wasted.
Get it, just letting it get to your head because you get all those fake friends that start to come. Nah, you didn't play that well. You didn't play that badly. Let's go to the club now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what I was trying to say was, having a blackout right now. Young players.
How to avoid that, maybe stay humble.
Yeah.
Stay focused, not let those distractions get you off track. It's late.
Yeah, wait a minute. I had a sentence and then we can't continue before I say that. Wait a minute.
Okay.
All right, we gotta figure a way to get him back on track. Seems like he's about to drop a bomb too, you know?
No, it's not a bomb. Okay. Yeah, easy. Okay. No, it wasn't a biggie. all for nothing.
All for nothing.
But the once it's the same with what do you say when you meet a nice girl? You say the looks are like the entrance, mm-hmm. and then the character is okay. You know, is she everything I've envisioned? You know what I mean? Obviously, you fall in love with a girl because she's pretty, and then you get to know her. Okay, like are we even good? You know, and vice versa. How was her character? And it's the same with all those talents that enter academies and are getting discovered, just like me. For some, they're all good in a certain level. It's like we're all pretty ladies. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But from then on, your heart and your head decides if you make it a pro or not. Easy. Mm. It's not about how good you play soccer. No. It's about how you cope on and off the pitch. How much are you willing to sacrifice? You know, all those little things. So the game of becoming a pro is decided in your head. Easy. Yeah. Obviously, there are so many obstacles. You have to stay healthy. You have to be just lucky. Luck is such a big part, man. Luck is such a big part because you have to be lucky enough to have a good game in front of the right scouts or coaches at that time that are watching the game. All you can do, and this is still the same for me right now in my career, all you can do is try to put in the best and put in all your work, and whatever happens, happens, because I'm telling myself, It's just a game. It's not different from when we used to play on the street back in the days. It's a game. I can have, we play St. Pauli now. Right there, maybe I'm getting injured 5 minutes in. Maybe we're getting a red card. We don't know. It's a game. You know what I mean? You can't control everything. You have to be able to let go. But whatever you can, tell me.
Whatever you can't control?
Yeah, like can't control. Well, at least do your part. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before and in the game. So, yeah. So
what's your favorite quote, Sean?
Huh?
Sean has a quote that's like, it's that matching of luck and proper preparation. What is that?
Oh, luck is when proper preparation meets an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good saying. Because, you know, a German saying is also, man erarbeitet sich das Glück. You're gonna earn your luck. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You gotta work for it, yeah.
And then people are saying, oh, you're so lucky. Yo, well, I busted my ass off for that one situation where I was lucky. You know what I mean?
I was preparation ready for that, exactly.
Yeah. I put in 20 sessions for this one lucky incident, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but one of those negative things that you talked about in terms of, I guess, being unlucky is the injuries. And I didn't know that it was that severe in your head that this could be it when you had that major ACL. Yeah. So walk us through that. Like, what happened and what was that mental struggle like to make that decision? Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I came to Leipzig end of preseason. I had like a very, very long season. So I played the Austrian Bundesliga, then we had Europe League, and I had no vacation because right after Europe League we had the preparation camp for the World Cup, right?
Okay, yeah.
I ended up getting cut from, and then I had like a week of vacation. To be honest, that wasn't very professional because I was like 21, singer. I just was drunk like for a whole week. You know what I mean? I was on the
phone, Mallorca,
Nick, just being drunk. He's like, hey. Yeah, welcome. And I had like one tiny week of holidays where I just fucked my body up. And then went to preseason again. End of the preseason, I partially tore my ACL. No surgery, which was a good decision though. Came back, started, had 7 games. Boom, totally ripped it off. So tore my ACL for good. Regular as ACL tear, and then after surgery I developed the Baker cyst, and they say it's like a 20% chance that you can get it, and even if you get it, it's going to burst, like implode by itself, right?
Oh wow.
And you know, I still got it saved on my edges. So I needed 3 more surgeries to get a hold of those Baker cysts, because every time I start rehab, I start that shit 4 fucking times.
Really?
Getting on the pitch, and the fluid was coming from my knee into my calf. So I had a big ass ball on my calf. And it's supposed to be liquid. And they put out those chicken wings.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So they were like,
that's what they pulled out?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be just liquid. That's a chicken wing.
That's legit a chicken wing.
Yeah. So, and right before the very last surgery, we said, okay, Ralf Rangnick also told me at Leipzig, hey, we're not going to let you, you know, fall down. You can choose a job, whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? You're going to pick a job in the club. I was like 25 that time. I had a baby on the way. And you know, my wife, my mom asked me, what you gonna do when you can't play anymore? I don't know. That was kind of going like being on the verge to depression, you know what I mean? But it was still, I can be thankful that I had a good support system, and just, you know, mentally my wife being there for me, and just, you know, I think the last time I cried was second last time I cried in my life was when I saw my dad, grandpa, in the hospital when he passed. And then the last time I cried was after the third surgery. We unpacked my knee, like the tapes and everything, right after surgery, and had a big ass ball again. And I was
right after the surgery.
Yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, that's it. And so we went to a different surgeon, and then we said, okay, if he's not gonna get a hold of it, I'm gonna retire. It was just like magic, and then it worked out, and but then I was out for 1.5 years, and they were in the Bundesliga now, and yeah, I didn't get a chance to play there anymore, and yeah, but that was crazy. That was actually crazy. Yeah.
Was that the first instance where you ever thought about your life outside of football?
Yeah.
Where like it was a reality that, wow, I might not be able to play anymore.
Yeah, because it took away the fear of dying on the football pitch. You know what I mean? As a soccer player, like, you know what I mean? Like, so many people don't think about what's after you, what comes after your career. And for me, everything I'm doing right now is just bonus. You know what I mean? It can, because it's still my knee is it's shitty on MRI scans. My God, I'm failing every medical. You know what I mean? But like, but it's working. I mean, I don't feel any pain. It's all good. But it just looks on the scans, it looks like they're just spider webs in it. That's it. You know what I mean? And
that thing's got like just a few rolls of tape on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's going back to that time, is there anything that you feel like, you know, you could do something over, like you would do it differently in that time in terms of whether it was rehab or listening to doctors or, you know, whatever it may be? Like, did you ever kind of think like maybe I could have done that differently?
No, not while rehabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last surgeon, he got a hold of it. So it was all good. It wasn't, and even I had many, many nights where I thought about, okay, why didn't I perform at Darmstadt? You know what I mean? And Toronto. And I think it was kind of like not giving myself time to become your old self, right? Okay. And because I'm like, okay, I'm healthy, let's go. But it wasn't the way I used to play. And but you're like unforgiving to yourself. You're like, you're not giving us your body time to just, you know, come back. And I mean, how would you like really change it? I mean, it's different, but like mentally, I was like kind of wanting too much for myself and not, you know, being like patient with myself to that it's going to take a while. And they say, actually, there's a saying in the game that it takes the same amount of time you've been out, it takes to regain like your old self, you know? And I've been out for 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I mean, Halle was like later, two to three years later. Yeah, but yeah, it was just kind of sad that you think, okay, I mean, you know, you almost went to a World Cup, went to Red Bull Leipzig for 2 million. I think we had Wigan Athletic wanted me then, Sporting Lisbon wanted me then, and boom, and now you're in third league. And you're like, damn, man, you know what I mean? Like, things could have gone, like, different. Definitely. You know what I mean? But then again, I don't know. It's kind of like, I'm kind of believing in, okay, everything is happening for a reason. Like, I'm a big believer in destiny. And somehow, it's not about what religion you believe in. I don't even care. But somehow, whoever's up there already has your story written. Kind of,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you just gotta trust the process and just, you know, be a good person and put in the grind and hopefully good things will come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great advice. And reflecting on the journey right now, what things would you say helped you get to this point? So in other words, why did Terrence make it as a pro and why is he still going?
Oh, so become a pro was because of my stepdad. Because you at one time, he asked me if I wanted to become a pro, and I grew up in Bremen, never made the academy in Werder Bremen, and so played lower leagues, and I was stupid enough to say yes, because every boy wants to become a pro. And then, well, he went crazy on me. So we did so many extra sessions where we just running. He once like drove me to a track where I had to like run a certain time and it was getting dark. He said, okay, one more lap. And I was running the last lap, went back. This motherfucker drove home. So I had to run home. You know what I mean? Those kind of thing. Yeah. And that's what I'm forever grateful for. He instilled this mentality of just wanting more and just, you know, not resting and just doing the extra work, whatever it takes, this hunger, you know what I mean? And it's funny because all those players in the Hertha Berlin, when I went there and for the first time I was in professional surroundings, like they were all kind of better than me, like with the ball and technically. But from a mental standpoint, it was like a 10-year-old playing against 5-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know at that time there was so much like so much ahead of those other people who are just like, they're already fed up. They were like, yeah, man, I'm going to become a pro eventually. You don't have to put in the time and the work anymore. And so that's what I'm so grateful for. Then obviously you have certain coaches or people along the way who kind of like shape you into this figure. And so it was like Kasyanka, as I said before, as a box strike, like classical number 9, who kind of showed me the ropes. Then Dave Wagner, American, who used to be my coach at Dortmund reserve team. He actually, that's also a funny story. I don't know if it's funny. So I was like the second in the goal race this year, and we became the champions in the fourth league. So we got promoted to third. I was on the bench with the pros for one game when we won 5-0 against Cologne, 90,000 people in the stadium, and Jürgen Klopp didn't sub me, and I was mad as hell. And so things were actually going quite well for me, right? And at one point in the season, I was like the last guy in the locker room, went to the jacuzzi, and I just started crying. And then for some reason, Dave Wagner, my coach, used to just be around and just came in and said, yo, what's up? And then I was like, yeah, man, like dudes like Mario Götze, he just shut up, broke through the whole football nation like a year before. And like people like Götze, he's like 17 at that time, right? And you know, he's killing in the Bundesliga, and I'm 21 right now. I'm 20, 21, and I'm still playing the fourth league reserve team, not a pro yet. And it's not like we're not even in the same position, right? But it's and he gave me one great advice, which you can also translate into just life itself. He just said, don't compare yourself to other people, because every person has their own time written in there somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to nobody, because everything will eventually happen. Just, you know, you just focus on yourself and put in the work and the rest will come. And that was I'll always keep that sentence. Good coach as well. Just a good human being, good coach. And Ralf Rangnick, for example, the Leipzig, I think he got promoted like 7 times in his career. I didn't even make that on Football Manager. It's crazy. So this dude was just in German we say perfectionist.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say it. It's just genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And so you have many coaches along the way that kind of form you, and just like, you know, you just gain some knowledge. And the state I'm in right now, because I want to be a youth coach in the future. So the last coaches I had, I'm kind of just checking out coaches, how they behave in certain situations, obviously what drills they're doing, but kind of like leadership ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What am I going to take from that and just, you know, let it flow into my own game when I want to work with talents later on? Yeah.
So when you coach, you want to more so work with the youth rather than maybe in the professional ranks?
Yeah. So because it's, how do you say that? It's like learning a job, you know what I mean? not only because I've been a professional player doesn't mean that I'm good at coaching. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, and I believe that I will have a good touch with young players, but I don't know. I have to learn this craft as well. Sure. So I would never say, oh, I want to coach US national team one day. Oh, obviously I would love to, but like, oh, I want to be a coach of a Bundesliga club. Well, we can all have dreams, but let's be realistic. You have to learn the craft before, you know? And I think that's just my two cents. It's just like, I think that I would have a good connection to young players and just guiding them on the way to become not just professionals, because not all of them are going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So not just become a profession, but becoming a man. You know what I mean? So I want to help on and off the field, just, you know, kind of educating them to be good, just good people and hopefully good as players. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my focus right after I stop playing.
Love that. And I mean, with your path and everything that we've spoken about and mentality, I mean, in infusing that into the youth, I feel like could only... Mm-hmm. Help but them
only like starting reach their from potential. 15 or something. I want to play with no fucking 10-year-olds, man.
Okay, there's got to be a level to it.
I will go crazy. I'm just, oh, my God. No, it has to be like...
There's got to be some organization.
Teenagers, you know what I mean?
Some players. Yeah. No, I feel that for sure. I love that, though. That's some great advice, too. We're going to head into the fast feet round now. Some fun quick-fire questions.
Okay.
So the first one, maybe you already alluded to it, but favorite player growing up?
Titi, Henri, Thierry. Titi. Oh, yeah.
Man, Arsenal, the favorite team I read,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well,
right?
I became an Arsenal fan like everyone else because of Henri back in the days. And I'm still, they always talk about Ronaldo, Messi, and this and that. I'm not discussing with nobody. Thierry was the best striker, period. I don't care. But then again, I don't watch games.
So the two games that you watched, he was the best player.
Can't argue.
Favorite moment in football?
Maybe last season when we had the derby against the Brooklyn in the third league. One of the first games where the stadium was packed again, almost 50,000. You know, like one of the first games after Corona, and we're down by like one guy got sent off 1-1, and I do the 2-1, and it was just crazy. People were going nuts. Won the derby with one guy less, and it was just unbelievable. Yeah.
How about most difficult moment?
Yeah, I think it was that time when I had the ACL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Best advice you ever received?
Yeah, just the one with Dave Wagner when you said that everybody has their own time. Yeah.
Favorite place you've lived?
Oh, okay. Gotta say, it was pretty dope in Vienna, to be honest. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's a very nice city. Best player you've ever played with and against?
Yeah. Clint Dempsey. And
wow. Okay.
Against, well, I played Ibrahimovic, but. And I also played Neymar. But
you say that like it's nothing.
Yeah.
I played Ibrahimovic.
It would be different if I would be a starter at the national team. You know what I mean? I was just subbed on and like kind of like, but like, yeah, I mean, obviously it would be those two. But Quatsch. To be honest, there was one guy we had at Rapid Vienna. We played Europa League qualifiers in Greece. I didn't even know that team, the team's name. And there was this Greek defender. He was just like, wow, this guy was crazy warrior. And he tackled me all 90 minutes. Like he gave me hell. It was so hard, like man marked me. I was like, damn, huh? But this idiot fouled me to a penalty. I converted the penalty and we won. But after the game, I was like, yo, man, I don't know you, but let's swap jerseys because he just had my respect because I couldn't do shit all game. You know what I mean? I don't know. So I just kind of, it's like game recognized game. I just yeah. respected him so much. I wanted his jersey. Yeah. So
you still got it?
I still got it, but I don't know his name. So that's the best opponent I've played.
Fire. How about if you weren't a footballer, what would you be?
Oh my God, that's a very good question. And I think right before I got discovered, I was thinking about going to US, going to mm-hmm. a college. Mm-hmm. So study something. I don't know if I would make the MLS. So if it would work out as a pro, I don't know.
Coach?
Yeah, maybe coaching, maybe just a bum on the street. I don't know, man. But
you would be working something.
Something decent. I don't know, but I don't know. Well, I don't know. I can't answer that.
I love that too, though. I love that.
Yeah. Favorite book?
One is the Bitcoin Standard. Actually, I've just read, it's right here, but I don't know if it's a book. It's this one, Ikigai.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I've
heard of this.
The Japanese Secrets to a Long and Happy Life.
Yeah, just to enhance your own self and just be aware of nutrition.
You're still being to your own drum.
But when it comes to just finding your own self and be a happy person, because this is the most important thing and the most important question in life. Period. Are you happy? Mm. And if not, you have to change something because we've seen it so many times nowadays. People are getting burned out and depressed and comparing themselves due to social media. Everyone's living the best life on Instagram, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, what I mean? It's the last good book that I've read. Yeah. Ikigai. Should check it out.
Definitely. Any quote or mantra that you live by?
It's a very, very basic. This is my German granddad. He said, "Es geht immer weiter." That's what it's like, the Nazi writing. It's old German. But it basically means it's like life goes on.
Yeah.
Which is like such a, and I hate people like that. But then again, this dude didn't talk that much to me. And this is one of the few things he said to me. So, and when he passed, I got inked. And I mean, it's so simple, but then again, that's the way it is.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the simplest things, though, just make the most sense.
Mistakes and just, go out and then be your best version, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and before we wrap this up, just speaking on the tattoos, I want to just ask about the Cyclops one, because the celebration is famous. Where did that come from?
Just spontaneous, because we had it was back in Vienna. I had a very talented tattoo artist, and so this dude is like one drawing pictures and they're selling them for like 20 to 50k each. It's crazy. And he's just like, if you see him, you think he's a bum of the streets. He's like living in a village, always wearing shorts and has a has birds that he's petting. He's crazy, like crazy. And he's so gifted when it comes to tattoos. And so I went there and I said I wanted to have just the, I don't know if you can see it, just the background of the sleeve. I just wanted crocodile skin. So this dude, he just went on Google images and did crocodile skin, and he didn't even draw it before.
He just did that freehand.
Freehand.
That's insane.
And then he said, "Yeah, and we should go with an eye." And I hated eyes. I was like, "What the?" Well, but he's so good. I was like, "Wait, whatever. Just
in that moment, trust it.
I trust him. He's good." Yeah. And then we were finished. I was just looking into a mirror, just like, "Yeah, it looks like a Cyclops." And I was like, from then on, the next next game I scored, I was like, kind of became my thing. And
you just can't stop now, right? Once it becomes your thing.
Yeah, it's my trademark thing because, you know, sometimes I don't even feel like it. I'm like, man, it's so stupid. You know what I mean? But then again, it's just my thing. And so it's, you got to stick through it now. Those last
years. It's you. Yeah. It's part of you now. It's part of you now.
Yeah.
I love that. Terrence, we want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing the story. I feel like we could go for hours. So hopefully there's a round two in the coming months or years. And, you know, we'll be watching along in this golden boot race. And just all the best, man. All the best.
Probably gonna lose it, but
hey, maybe even a promotion. You never know.
Yeah, who knows?
You never know.
We'll see.
And you guys also, best of luck to you and your season right now. So
thank you.
Stay healthy. And yeah.
Appreciate that, man.
Very happy to be here.
Terrence Boyd mic drop on that one, bro.
What a legend.
Love that.
What a guy. Legend.
I mean, a few things. Like, first off, he's just the man. He was just like, you know, super open about his path, super open about the struggles, about the, you know, the good things, about him being unapologetically him. And I love that because there was something he said early and he kept coming back to it a little bit. It was like, there's that moment when you realize like who you are and what's important. And that's kind of like, I read in another book, that's like your second life. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I feel like once you figure that out and then you capitalize on that, that's when the confidence comes. That's when the goals, you lay them out and they look like they can be attained, you know, and you see a bit of your future, like all of this shit can happen. I love that. I love how unapologetically Terrence Boyd is.
Exactly. He's true to himself. And like he said, it took him a while to get to that point. But he, you know, I also find it it's fascinating too to hear that he came from like as a youth player, he wasn't sought after like many of these players that make it to the Bundesliga.
Like he wasn't
are,
in the academies, comes, yeah.
It comes with this different mentality. And you and I have both met plenty of players that have come from that system and they have this little ego about them, or they had it and they no longer have it, but and they've realized that. But they, and then we've seen the other players that didn't come up through the academy that are fantastic players now. You know, shout out Elias Saad, who's currently playing for the second Bundesliga team, St. Pauli. I mean, he didn't grow up in that type of system and he was just recently your teammate. And I think that comes with humbleness because he didn't play in any fancy team when he was young. He wasn't sought after. Mm-hmm. Now he has a stepdad leaving him at the track and he's got to learn hard work that way. He's got to learn, you know, that if he wants something, he's got to work for it.
Yeah.
And I think that he's kept that with him his entire career. And of course the injury obviously helps reset yourself.
What an injury too, though, man. Yeah, that's crazy. Three times getting surgery on a Baker's assist, twice tearing his ACL. Like, I mean, the thoughts, the places that you have to go during that time are just unimaginable. So,
and the photos that he showed us of what was actually in his leg, I mean, I couldn't imagine what that felt like.
No.
Like, it literally looked like a chicken wing.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Let's see if that part
makes it into the YouTube.
Yeah. For fuck's sake. We can't put that one in, but
I don't know. Yeah. But that was, I mean, all that stuff. And it's, He said it plain and simple. Like, people were more talented than me my entire life. Like, even now he says guys are better than me, but he's like, I know me. I know what I do. I know I'm not going to run around the pitch. I know I'm not going to dribble and take guys on. But one of my favorite quotes was early. He's like, that box is home. He's like, that box is home.
Once we're there.
I love that. He's like, once we're there, we're home. Exactly. Like, just hold on. We're going home. It's like, I mean, taking one of the biggest things I took from this episode, along with the fact that just humbleness and what a great guy, you know, he seems, was how important and how amazing it is to know yourself and to use that to your advantage in life. That's the biggest thing I think, one of the biggest thing I think I took from this episode, and there's so many gems throughout it. Great time.
Yeah. Yeah, very happy to speak with him, meet him, and I hope that you know, maybe. I mean, the World Cup 2026, like he said, there's a lot some
articles.
Of young talent.
I see some articles on Twitter like, hey, he's hot. Does he deserve a call up?
We'll
I mean,
see.
You never know.
We'll see. You never know
if he can come in and just be like, you know, a veteran too for leadership,
exactly.
Role players and things like that. Regardless of it, he just seems like he's in a great place right now. So super happy for him. Make sure you guys check them out. I mean, restoring the sleeping giant to its former glory. Like, what a story it is.
Yeah.
You can find a lot of the games for the US viewers. You can find a lot of the second Bundesliga games on Watch ESPN. Not all of them, but there are a ton. So, yeah, just keep a lookout. Keep a lookout for that scoring tally. It's like, I'm probably going to lose this golden boot race, but fuck it. But yeah, it's amazing to see. It's amazing that we were able to speak with him and, you know, 31, but I think there's still a lot left in his story.
I agree. Definitely hasn't peaked yet. And with that, keep up the free support. Liking, subscribing everywhere, leaving us reviews, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of it does help. And it is.
I
want to
laugh at a review. I need a good laugh from a review. So who's
yeah,
gonna...
we haven't had it.
Maybe I just haven't checked enough of them, but like there was a few.
I mean,
there was some
keep
funny
talking.
Ones.
Keep talking. I'm gonna have to just peep, you know. Because I you know what? I don't think there has been. You know, and the free support helps, and
I mean, all of that helps. Like if you made it this far into the episode,
nothing
which
recent.
You should have. I mean, we need some funny reviews in there, people. Come on. And if you haven't liked us on or reviewed us on Spotify podcast, all of that. I mean, you've heard this. If you've made it this far, then you're an OG.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. And we just hope that you can plug it and pass it to one person, two people. Just, you know, keep throwing a like. All that shit helps. All those views help. And yeah, like we said, 2023 is the year of footwork. You can see it. These guests that we're having on, class stories, amazing paths, great advice. So let us know who you think we should have on next. We'd love to hear that.
Until next time.
Keep moving forward.
Keep learning.
And make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own paths, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. And Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor. It doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.